All right, folks, welcome back to the opening weekend show, Mountain West Wire, MWCWire.com. Matt Kennerly with myself, Jeremy Moss. We made it. Offseason is over. We have three games, despite ESPN not caring about any games this weekend. Any games.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
They must hate South Florida, San Jose State, Colorado State, the Pac-12, BYU, despite them... There's a game on their channel. BYU plays Portland State. But they don't seem to care.
We will love them twice as much as they hate those teams.
Definitely. And we also got your Twitter, your retweet about that on our account at MWCR got a lot of traction today. People seem to like it.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you're talking about, what, 10 different fan bases that are basically being overlooked, including three of our own? It's a little much, don't you think?
Exactly. You would think, like, especially, I get it's not the huge weekend of games, like, the official week one, but they put more effort into the FCS game, like, there wasn't a North Dakota State, Eastern Washington game a couple years ago that kind of started this thing? Mm-hmm. It was something like that, and they put a lot of press into that. It's like, come on, yes, I get these games on CBS Sports Network, but come on, you got Stanford and Rice on your network? What's the deal?
Anyway.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Here's the show. Football's here. We got three games this weekend. So that means this show will not be 95 minutes because we don't have a dozen games to talk about. But check us out at Facebook, Mountain West Wire, MWC Wire Twitter. If you want to give us a couple bucks on Patreon, that's also /MWC Wire. We got a few people there. We have a fantasy football league we have people signed up for. So that'll be exciting. And let's get to this. Since we talked about Facebook... Did you hear the news today, Matt? There are half a dozen games on
that.
Facebook.
I'm actually very excited. It's just, you know, one more tab to keep open on my laptop all Saturday long.
Exactly. So it's done by Stadium. Do you know if this... I assume they're also doing Twitter games for the Mountain West? Because they're, like, trickling these things out, like the Wet Bandits in Home Alone, the Mount of Water,
I mean, you would think,
games that are
but,
being released.
You know, the way that news seems to come out these days, we're, like, less than 3 days now from, you know, the start of the season, and we still don't know what some of these game times are or how they're going to be broadcast. But what can you do? I mean, they will find a way into your eyeballs one way or another.
Put it this way, it's a pleasant surprise. Yes. Once you see more games can be watched, right? So the games we have, it's a blessing and a curse, because if it's on mm-hmm. Facebook, that means everybody can watch anywhere. However, if you're on Facebook or a streaming game, particularly with the Mountain West, it has a better deal than, say, like the Sun Belt or even some Conference USA. If you're on this network, that means two things. You're playing the FCS. I have a rogue video here. Rogue autoplay video. I'm like, what tab is it? But let me get back what I was saying. If you're on Facebook or one of the networks, you're typically playing an FCS team or you're a bad team. And that means Utah State's pretty crappy, right? Or perceived to be crappy with three
I don't know if that's
games on the Facebook.
100% true in this instance because... You know, if you were looking for a way to watch the Rio Grande rivalry, you get New Mexico State at New Mexico. We know New Mexico is going to be pretty good this year. And, you know, we talked about Utah State in our team preview. You can go ahead and go back mm-hmm. and listen to that before you get hyped up for this weekend. But, you know, they get their game at home against Wyoming. And we know Wyoming is going to be a team to watch at every opportunity, too. You know, obviously some of the other games might be a little rough. You know, Wyoming's probably going to paste Texas State at the end of the month. You know, Utah State at San Jose State, I think, is going to be a pretty decent game. May not be the most exciting game, but I would still expect them to be able to move the ball and score some points against one another. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're an Aztecs fan and you're not sure whether you're going to be able to get to the game 2 weekends from now, at least now you know you can watch it one way or another. So... I mean, I think, you know, if you're a fan of these teams, you're happy that you have a way to watch it that's easily accessible and not, say, CBS Sports Network with its total absence of streaming.
I should double check see what streaming they actually have. But you're right. It's like it's yeah, it's more football to watch. And like for some people, like I said, like I can't stream CBS Sports Network. Nobody can unless you have like I think last year I'm gonna check right now to see what it is as we get to these previews here in a second. But I think if you had Cox and like Optimum Cable and some random off the wall East Coast one, you can get it. But that's about it. But Facebook, Stadium Deal, which will put games on Twitter, you're good to go. You can watch all these games. You got the Mountain West Network games that will I'm betting, maybe I'm wrong, and I don't know, because this is on Facebook, but this is not a Mountain West, because that's the games, and I'm sorry, rambling, but the Mountain West Network games haven't been announced either. And those games are on there too at some point. And then there's probably going to be some games on Twitter. I didn't know Stadium was producing games on Facebook. Were you aware of that?
I had thought I had heard something about that, but I honestly don't pay that much attention to it. So if it escaped my radar, I wouldn't be surprised.
That's okay. I just know they're doing Twitter for sure because they're basically doing 24 hours. Like they have that Stadium Journey show, whatever, highlight show kind of, the rally, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's called. Whatever, they have an evening, like what, 11 Eastern or 1 Eastern or something late at night. But that's about it. I'm checking right now streaming options really quick for CBS Sports Network. I'll get to that in a moment. But any other news? Oh, yeah, we got our countdown. We're doing top 50 countdown.
Do we want to lead off with that?
We should. One quick note. I found it right here really quick. You can get CBS Sports Network streaming via Cox. Buckeye Broadband's new. Never heard of it. Fubo TV. I've heard of that. That's one we did not discuss. They used to be just like a football only channel, like for if you want to watch international soccer or international football. But I guess they have CBS as well. Frontier, which is not too decent size. Mediacom, never heard of it. Suddenlink, who are you? Wow. I'm saying exactly as it's written. Wow. With the exclamation point. Optimum and yeah, wow. Question mark. You're not excited. Hulu as well and Optimum. So you would, at this day and age, you think if you're able to get access to channel one way, you should be able to access it online. There's that TV Anywhere thing that's supposed to be up and running, I guess, but whatever. Top 50 countdown. We're at number, should we do top five?
Yeah, I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, I believe we will be officially at number 3. Don't quote me on that, but we can talk the top five.
We'll talk top five. So number 5, not Devontae Boyd. He's number 6, UNLV. Number 5, Andrew Wingard, free safety, Wyoming. Preseason Defensive Player of the Year.
Might still be a little too low, if you ask me.
Where did you rank him at?
I don't have my rankings in front of me. I'm pretty sure I had him 4th.
I should have mine in front of me. I don't know. But 5... I have no problem with him or David Moa being switched, because I think nationally Wingard probably get better, more publicity as well.
I mean, I think Moa though at number 4 is, you know, kind of well deserving of that spot, because he basically came out of nowhere last year to be the conference's best pass rusher, and you know, now that he's in a position where he doesn't necessarily have to play nose tackle anymore, if the guys alongside him can stay healthy, like guys like Jabril Frazier and stuff like that, he could have an even bigger year this year, which is kind of hard to imagine.
Maybe I could see him not being as good just because they do lose a lot of talent defensively and teams will focus on him. But regardless, here's the thing. If you're a defensive lineman, you either get your name called a lot because you do great like Moa did, or if you don't, it's because you're getting double or triple teamed and another player on your team is opened up to make big plays. So it's a win-win, essentially. Mm-hmm. You do your job one way or another. So number 3, who is that?
Number 3 is San Diego State's Rashad Penny.
With him not returning kicks, would that have changed your pick at all since he's now primarily a running back?
I mean, maybe a little bit. I don't know if I would have dropped him any more than one or two spots, because I still expect him to probably be the odds-on favorite to lead the conference in rushing anyway. And, you know, even if he doesn't top 2,000 yards like Danelle Pumphrey did last year, he's still probably going to be really, really good regardless.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Like, you could, because he was preseason running back, one of the first, him and St. Juice running back for the first team there. And so it's, he's not going to put up Pumphrey numbers, but if you're a good running back on a team that's knowingly going to run the ball, what else are you going to do? He's going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
So number two. So we're down to two players left: Josh Allen or Brett Rypien.
And I should point it out, and I'll point it out in the article once I post it as well. The two of them were separated by 1 point.
1 point.
1 point.
Oh. So number two was, so, who was it?
Number two was Josh Allen.
And Boise State gets a credit again for number one because they're Boise State. Is that how it went down?
I mean, I think it's just a matter of the fact that, you know, Brett Rypien was the freshman of the year 2 years ago, and he was probably the conference's best quarterback, you know, just looking at the overall numbers last year. You know, he has a little bit better track record than Josh Allen does. And while Josh Allen obviously has the tools that, you know, NFL draft next are already looking forward to, you know, nitpicking at for basically the next year, you know, Brett Rypien's, you know, with, you know, the college offense that he's running with the talent around him, I think he's the pretty obvious choice, if I'm being totally honest.
I would say with the Brett Rypien stat, he's a better college quarterback. But if you listen to our show with Justin Mello, he thinks he has Josh Allen number one overall next year in the NFL draft. And it's two different, they're two different games. Like we discussed as well. If you watch the college game, NFL game, well, it's the same sport. It's really not the same sport because you have New Mexico, Georgia Tech, Army, Navy, Washington State doing what they're doing, Texas Tech. Then you'll have teams like USC and Wyoming and UCLA. All different parts of the game. It's still football, but it's a completely different game. But and for this list, I have no problem Rypien being number one. He's a better college quarterback, better stats, better numbers for the most part, better completion percentage, which is a big deal. And I think he'll have better numbers than Allen this year. So
there we go.
Go Brett Rypien, right? Is that how it works? Am I the Boise homer now again?
We're, well, everybody should know by now that we're biased against their team. So
exactly. So one thing, I'm going to throw this on you really quick because we didn't discuss this in our mega preview show. I put out bowl projections. There are five bowl tie-ins. I put seven teams going bowling. Is that any chance of happening?
I mean, I think that's reasonable if you expect Hawaii to crack 500 again. And, you know, if the Mountain basically dominates the West again in interdivision play in a similar fashion to what they did last year, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see five teams in the Mountain finish 6-6 or better. That's actually, I believe, what my projection has.
I went with seven because there's been seven since 2014 each year, or since 2014. And even though there's only five bowl tie-ins, my prediction was Frisco Bowl because they have an at-large bid, and then also taking that Cactus Bowl spot again.
I think the only way that doesn't happen again is that if someone from the West surprises and pulls a couple of upsets this year, you know, whether that's, you know, Nevada, who's had a, you know, some pockets of, you know, optimism that I don't necessarily share, but, you know, there are some people out there who think that they could easily rebound to 6-6, or whether that's, you know, UNLV, who may not have a great defense but can score enough points to win six games. To me, those are probably...
I'm officially being quiet on UNLV because apparently I hate them.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, if one of those two teams, I think, if they can sneak to, you know, even five wins apiece, you know, that could take away from, you know, a team like Air Force or New Mexico or, you know, at least in my opinion, Wyoming from, you know, getting to six or seven wins, but we'll see how that shakes out.
Remember one of my kind of bold predictions, no bowl game for Wyoming.
He said it, not me.
I did predict them. For what it's worth, here's what I had for the bowl projections.
Okay.
And I will do these every week because they'll change, and I'll probably do them even after this opening week because there's three Mountain West teams, and South Florida is a pretty big opponent and a team that Mountain West will be chasing. I went with everybody knows I like the Rams win the league, so I put CSU versus UCLA in the Las Vegas Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Nick Stevens, Josh Rosen matchup. That should be pretty interesting. Then I put San Diego State versus Ohio in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl for versus MAC number 2. If Ohio's MAC number 2, that should always be a good matchup. And then for the New Mexico Bowl, I love this matchup. It's kind of me putting it there because it could happen, and I think it'd be a vastly underrated game. Boise State taking on Middle Tennessee State.
That would be a game I would watch.
I'm a Brent Stockstill fan. That's why I ranked them 25th in my super early preseason poll back in January. And then Hawaii Bowl, Hawaii versus Temple. Sure. Air Force versus Idaho in the Arizona Bowl.
Can I just add that Air Force would probably hate going to the Arizona Bowl again?
Did they go there last year?
They went. Yeah, they did.
Oh, maybe that. Maybe I should switch it up. It's preseason. Give me a break.
Frisco
Bowl.
I was going to say, because I remember that Air Force fans felt slighted being, you know, a 9-win team going into the bowl game and being stuck with, you know, the the bowl
South game Alabama.
That didn't have a TV deal last year.
Hey, it's on CBS Sports Network this year, folks.
That's true.
And apparently there's a – is there a press conference tomorrow on this, I guess, on Thursday for the bowl game?
All it says is, you know, if you're not following the Arizona Bowl on Twitter, at Nova AZ Bowl, it just says that they're having a press conference to discuss everything coming up for this year's edition.
So tune into that. So we do know it's on CBS Sports okay. Network. Next up we have really – and I think it'd be an interesting matchup. And then – I think I may have made an error on this one. New Mexico versus Tulsa in the Frisco Bowl. Does New Mexico play Tulsa this year already?
Yes, they do.
Dang it! Well, rematches can happen, right? They're not that
they happen
overly rare, are they? I'll have to make an adjustment. I did have, for what it's worth, I did have Tulsa versus Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl. Maybe I could switch those up. Maybe Temple versus New Mexico. Because they're both American teams.
All right.
So that's a possibility. And then the Cactus Bowl, Wyoming versus TCU.
Old school Mountain West.
So, yeah, for the brief moment, TCU was in the league. I went with that because I think Washington will make the Rose Bowl for the Pac-12, winning the Pac-12. But I also think USC will get to a big bowl game as well. And so it's like what happened last year where trickle-down effect, there's not enough teams. It's actually, I think it's Pac-12-7. And so, that's what we're doing here. That's how that works. And here's what we're doing really quick, just because I'm going to mention it now, just so we can, so when we go forward, for the rest of the show, you won't really know, you'll know what's going on this week and next week. We're going to break up each preview to its own little section. So up next, depending on how you're listening to this, I'm going to make it tricky for people, because so everybody can hear the open, which is awesome, this part. You'll either hear, depending on your team, if you listen to it all the way through, that's awesome. That's great. But if you want to listen to your team, it might be your team next. It might be South Florida versus San Jose State. It might be Colorado State, Oregon State. It might be Hawaii UMass. I don't know. Because I'm going to pause right now. I'm going to the next preview. So if you're listening to just your team section, that's what you get. All right, time for the first game of the weekend. First game of all of college football. Colorado State hosting Oregon State at the new, on-campus stadium.
Well, if you Google Colorado State Stadium, the name it'll give you is Colorado State Stadium.
No Stony Lubick Field or anything, I guess? Nothing?
We can always refer to it as the place with all the new Belgium.
Since they're having their own brew and section on campus at the stadium.
I kind of want to go to there.
You want to go to there. Perfect, 30 Rock. You've been there, but not to the new stadium yet.
I saw it go.
Did you go a game there, right? Last year, a game?
I did.
I'm pretty sure this new place is better than whatever it was in the Hughes Stadium.
For $220 million, it better be.
No kidding. All right, so this game, 12:30 p.m. local time, CBS Sports Network. As we mentioned before, if you can stream it, good for you. You're one of the dozens of people who have WoW for their package. So have you looked? I'm pretty sure we've all looked at the line in this game for what the projection, who's going to win, who shouldn't win, who's supposed to win. But for those who don't know, it opened at -2 for the Rams, -4 for current projection because people are laying the money on the Rams. What's your initial thought on that opening line, or current line, I should say?
I would have thought it would have been closer to 6 or 7 because, you know, Oregon State does have some things that I think they'll be very good at, but I think that they have a couple more questions on both sides of the ball that Colorado State doesn't necessarily have. So I am a little surprised by how low the line is.
Me too. I thought it'd be maybe a touchdown because Oregon State wasn't all that good last year. They had a quarterback battle in camp where the Rams had quarterback in place, Nick Stevens, two running backs in place, one of the best receivers in the country, a pretty good offensive line with Jake Bennett and others. Defense, a few question marks, but is it just because it's the Pac-12 thing, maybe?
It could be.
Fair enough, but I guess you play in the P5, you get that respect of some sort, even if you are Oregon State.
I'm not totally sure.
So we know a little bit about Oregon State because who is it? They lost a quarterback to Fresno State.
They did.
You know, Marcus McMarion. McMarion.
Yes.
One of those names. It's not Shoshery because we figured out that name, right? You tweeted at me for the San Jose State defensive back.
I tweet at you with all proper pronunciations.
But we are all way off because we all thought it was Chachery. But we'll get to that later because we'll talk about San Jose State. But the quarterback battle, McMarion lost, so he went to Fresno State. And we know the coach too because you got Gary Anderson there. He used to be at Utah State. Was at Wisconsin for a hot second. Chucky Keaton's on staff there. That's always something to look forward to. We all love Chucky Keaton. And they released their depth chart. Here's what they have coming back. Like, their starting quarterback is, where'd it go? Jake Luton. And Daryl Garrett said, I thought he's injured, but I guess the former Aggie, Utah State, he's, I guess, technically the backup. I'm surprised he never got a chance to win that job. Or not a chance, but he never won the job because I talked with some of the guys from Building the Dam a couple months ago. They were excited beyond belief to have Garrett stand. Then he basically was laid egg and done nothing.
From my understanding, it's that Luton is a big dude. Like, he's listed on the depth chart at 6'7" and 234 pounds. And it's my understanding that what the Beavers want to do is they want to be able to throw the ball a little bit more than they did this year, or last year rather. And they want to be more successful doing that. I believe I read somewhere that they want to incorporate some air raid type of stuff. And, you know, having seen Garrettson within his time at Utah State and having seen him a couple times at Oregon State, like, he never really distinguished himself in either place. Like, he was fine. But I don't know if he was the guy that you would necessarily count on to make a big play down the field. Luton does have a little bit of FBS game experience, but, you know, if you actually go back and look at what he did at Idaho in 2015, it's hard to take too much from it. Because he did complete 63% of his passes, but it was only 78 attempts, and he only had one touchdown against 4 interceptions. But that was mostly against USC and Auburn and Arkansas State, who that year were 3 pretty good teams. So I'm not sure how much you could take from his experience. One thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, some of the targets that I think you're going to want to keep an eye on if you're a Colorado State fan are super young. Like, I had noticed that they have a true freshman among their 3 wide receivers listed atop the depth chart, Isaiah Hodgins, who's 6'4", 209, won a starting job throughout fall camp. You know, that's a guy that you'll need to keep an eye on in the red zone or something like that, because he's got at least 3 inches off of everybody that's listed on the 2 deep in the Rams' own defensive backfield. And not only
we
that,
two guys, Jordan Villeman.
Yeah, that too. And, you know,
6'5".
and their tight end Noah Togiai, who, you know, only played one game last year and then missed the rest of the year with injury. You know, he's back. He's another big target who could hurt the Rams over the middle if they're not careful.
It's interesting they say they want to throw the ball a lot because they got a new, fairly new quarterback because Luton was out, like I said, Idaho. But the running game, they have, it's a lot of players who were not in the team last year. Yeah, they have Ryan Nail back who had 13 TDs, nearly 1,000 yards. But they have Thomas Teitner from Oregon, Treverius Johnson, TCU, Artavis Price. They have a good depth of running backs back there. So I guess they want to throw the ball, but why not run the ball with all these guys they have coming or would not return two guys not on the team, but they have a decent amount of talent back there.
That's true. I mean, I think it's also worth pointing out that there are some spots on the offensive line that are really young too. You know, especially at left tackle, Blake Brandel got kind of thrown into the fire last year as a freshman. But, you know, he's out there. He's going to be protecting Luton's blind side, and they're going to need him and the guy next to him, Gus Lavaca, who's also a sophomore, really big sophomore. He's listed at 345 pounds. You know, they're going to need the Rams' defensive line to really step up and stop the run in a way that, you know, they were a little bit inconsistent in doing last year. You know, the guys that the Rams have up front, you know, Jacob Bies, Toby McBride on one end, and then you have, you know, someone like Evan Colarito coming off the other end. You know, these guys that they have on the line for the Beavers are, you know, much bigger dudes, so they're going to need to find ways to slow down this running attack.
So, but looking at like the Oregon State offense, going just within the Pac-12, it's pretty dismal last year. They're basically the bottom third, if not last, in like yards per game, yards per play, passing offense. They weren't very barely passed, were barely ahead of Stanford. Running attack was even with the guys that are coming back, they're middle of the pack. I know the Rams defense wasn't amazing last year. They do lose Kevin Davis, but they do still return three quarters of their production. I just don't see Oregon State doing anything in particular offensively because, again, new quarterback, which could be an upgrade, which they most likely see if it's Luton who got the job over Gerritsen and McMarion who transferred. But I just don't see the offense. Maybe it takes a step forward, but maybe they get some points against the Rams. But, like, looking at who Oregon State played last year in their non-conference, let's kind of look at comparable opponents a little bit. Let me get that page open here I just had. But they only scored 26 points per game, which is not very good. And then when you look at like games, they put up 24 versus Boise State, who is which not it's okay. But their other non-conference games were Minnesota, Idaho State, where 23 points versus Minnesota, and they're just okay. But they're when they played a team that was good defensively, that's where they really struggled. They'll score like 6 points versus Colorado. They only scored like when they played Utah 14 points, Washington 17 points. Obviously, CSU is not as good as that, but they also only scored 31 versus Washington State last year. So I'm thinking, what do you think this Rams defense is more like Minnesota, I'm assuming, where it's just okay?
I guess that would be the best analogy, yeah, because, you know, the Rams do have some very productive dudes all over the place. You know, Colarito, I think, is going to be very good this year. Josh Watson's probably going to make at least double-digit tackles in this game. And, you know, you get a guy like, you know, Jordan Fogel, who really emerged to seize the free safety spot. But they're going to need to be able to make stops consistently, which they didn't always do last year.
Yeah, the first half until the Utah State game, they're poor tackling, couldn't get anything done. And I guess the Idaho game is a little at the end of the year. But yeah, for half the year, we were wondering why can't they tackle? And is Marty English even going to finish out the year?
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep an eye on is, you know, this the idea of stuff rate, which, you know, if you're not familiar with Football Study Hall, stuff rate is essentially when a runner is either tackled at or behind the line of scrimmage. So while on one hand, while I would kind of expect Oregon State to take maybe a small step back from being ranked 13th in the country, you know, it's worth noting that on the flip side, the Colorado State defense was only ranked in the 80s last year. So, you know, if you're looking for guys to be able to make a few more tackles for loss, that I think is where the rubber's really going to meet the road. Like, if Oregon State can chirp, you know, chain together a few first downs, that could have a huge effect later in the game.
Well, and if you look at the Rams defense, they gave up what, 30 points per game?
Yeah.
Can't do that. They were exactly. 30.4. Even if you get rid of that Idaho game, 60 points, that's still, what, 28? That's still not great. But one thing I noticed is looking at a few things where you're chatting about Gary Anderson chatted with, who was it here? Whatever. 102.9 in Portland, it looks like. Bald Face Truth Radio. Come on, really? That's your name you go with? However, it's whatever. He was asked about them being a, I guess they put 3.5, but an underdog. Mm-hmm. And he basically says, you can give that to your team and let them understand. I was told that. It's been a couple or 3 weeks when I was told that. It gives you an, I guess that's a weird quote, but why print that? Basically, it gives you a little extra edge. It's only 3 points. Do they feel slighted? Do you think that's a slight being slighted because you're playing CSU? Saying you're an underdog, but yet you won, what, a couple games last year? If
perhaps.
That? I don't know. I was reading that quote. I should have pre-read that better because that's a pretty terrible quote. It's like, maybe I told we were at one point not supposed to win or not favored. It gives you the edge. That's what they're looking for. So if we go to the other side of the ball, Oregon State, obviously they play in the Pac-12 where some decent offenses like Washington State. Washington was a pretty good offense. Colorado last year was pretty good. I would put this Rams offense up against nearly anybody in the Pac-12 compared to last year, since we're still at that stage where we haven't seen anybody this year. Would you say, who does Oregon – let me pull up the schedule here really quick. It's kind of a fun game here real quick. Who do you think is a better offense? Let me rephrase this. The Rams offense is going to be good. We know that. Let me ask you this. Well, who would you pick offensively, Colorado State or Washington State?
Well, I mean, Washington State usually tends to be a little bit one-dimensional. So my inclination is to probably say that because of the Rams have a little more balance, that they're a little more efficient, a little more explosive. Washington had one of the best offenses in the country last year.
Okay, I just mentioned, yeah. USC, yeah. Probably better than CSU offensively. Okay, anybody else, would any of these other teams be better than CSU offensively? Colorado, Stanford, Cal, Arizona,
I mean,
Arizona
Cal
State,
could
Oregon.
Move the ball. They just couldn't stop the ball. Oregon had its moments last year, but they also could not stop anybody. I think I see what you're getting. I think for this particular game, the one thing that Colorado State, if I were Mike Bobo, that I would try to do is, in the same way that they may be a little bit challenged against the run against Oregon State, they should definitely take the four guys that they have in the backfield, Dawkins, Matthews, Kinsey, and Rashard Boddy, and they should try to establish the run sooner rather than later, because if there was one thing that Oregon State wasn't great at last year, it was stopping the run. They gave up about 5.3 yards per carry. And, they have a little bit of optimism about the guys that they have along the, the front line. They do run a 3-4. They do have a couple of big dudes in the middle in Kalani Vakamailalo. I'm hoping I pronounced that right. And Elu Ion, who's been getting a lot of praise in camp. Those are big dudes in the middle who are going to be a challenge for guys like Jake Bennett to really keep them off the runners. But, that was really where your talent was last year in running the football. And if Nick Stevens gets off to another slow start like he did in the Rocky Mountain Showdown, you have enough guys back there where if you can find someone to be the hot hand, that could be a huge advantage in this game.
All right, let me ask you about this. You mentioned Marvin Kinsey. Do you think he even plays in this game?
I mean, if he's healthy, I don't see why he wouldn't get at least a few carries. It's obviously a committee situation. Judging by the 2-deep, you have all four of those guys listed on there. It's either Dawkins or Matthews as a starter, and then Boddy or Kinsey as the backups. So it wouldn't surprise me, maybe nobody gets 20 carries, but everybody gets at least half a dozen.
All right, just curious because that ACL was so late in the year. And then let's do one last thing here really quick. I have one player who I think will stand out in this game that people may or may not know, because everybody knows, we've even mentioned Michael Gallup once in this game. He's probably the or is Michael the Gallup, best athlete on the field.
Gallup might be challenged.
You think so?
With because the Beavers do have a guy who was a freshman All-American last year in Xavier Crawford. So, you know, he's only a sophomore, but he's got a lot of talent. He had 10 pass breakups last year. And, you know, maybe it's a situation where, you know, Gallup is lined up with Crawford more often than not. You know, whoever wins that battle could play a significant factor in whoever wins this game.
Here's a name I think is good with that matchup. Here's a guy who I think could have the biggest game that people aren't aware of. Olabisi Johnson. Is that right?
Olabisi
Johnson. If Gallup's challenged at all, which it's going to be a good matchup, but if they're focusing on Gallup, this guy gets 21 yards per reception, a couple TDs. Look for him to maybe have a big game, especially with if you think about how the running game has the advantages against Oregon State, who can't stop the run very well. If the safeties or cornerbacks going to move up a little bit, maybe adjust their coverage to bring more guys to help up front, this guy can sneak behind somebody and get like a 50-yard touchdown reception or some sort of deep threat that's going to be available if the running game gets going, because then the Beavers have to focus more on stopping Dawkins, Kinsey, or Matthews back there.
That makes a lot of sense, because if you know you have a guy as talented as Crawford on one side of the field, it puts a lot of pressure on the other guy, who right now, Dwayne Williams, is the other guy holding down the cornerback spot. And, you know, he was okay last year. He didn't really play all that much, and he's kind of getting thrust into a starting role in much the same way that Crawford was last year. So, you know, if Johnson is able to create separation, make big plays, yeah, that could definitely tilt things in the Rams' favor.
All right, give me your game prediction.
I like Colorado State in this one. I mean, I think that Oregon State will be able to kind of play to its strengths. You know, I think they'll definitely be able to move the ball on the ground a little bit, but I'm not totally certain that Luton is going to be as consistent as they hope he will be. So, you know, Oregon State will probably get some points, but I'm kind of expecting something like, you know, 30-21. So I have Colorado State covering this one.
I have that as well. We're going to have a Q&A up a little bit later with the guys from Rivals about this, and I put 31-24, I want to say. Something where... No, you said you said 31-21, is that right? I think I said the exact same score. Let me find my sent email really quick. Because we agree on a lot of things, and if it's the exact score, let's see here. Yep, I picked Colorado State 31, Oregon State 21. Exactly. And we're keeping track of this stuff too, folks. I am writing this stuff down, typing it down. So we'll actually know how good... oh, spreadsheet, of course you do. of how good or bad we are on these picks. All right. Let's, so I say Rams win. You say Rams win. Excellent. That's pretty much our show for tonight. We discussed three games. And we went about, depending on what section you're listening to this, a good 45 minutes on three games. I think, Matt, we're going to have to tighten this up maybe when we start talking 12 games.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to quick hits. And remember, the way we're doing this now, we have the full podcast as normal. We're also going to do, if you wanted to listen to just San Jose State, South Florida, we'll have that chopped up for you. If you wanted to just hear Colorado State and Oregon State, we got that for you. We'll do that every week because we've heard people who want to hear just their team. So you'll get that portion plus the beginning and the end. So hopefully that works for you. We let us know, right? That's what we want, feedback, if you like that or not.
Leave us a review.
Please, on iTunes, Stitcher. Where else are we at? Blog Talk Radio. You can follow our page on there. Let us know how we're doing.
Pocket
Cast. You got a Podcast Attic. Basically, anywhere you got a podcast, let us know, right?
Yes.
Give us a review. So we finally made it. The off season is done. It's complete. We're just, depending when you listen to this, could be one day, could be day of, could be 2 days from now. Three games in the books. If you're a Boise State fan, if you're a San Diego State fan, watch some games. I'd maybe focus on watching South Florida to compare yourself a little bit. But
know your enemies.
Yeah, know your enemy, even though you don't play them, but get to know how They probably are overrated. I'm going to say it. That's me, Jeremy Moss, South Florida. Colin, you can come after me. That's okay. I don't care. Probably not listening, but that's
Well,
all
I'm
right.
also saying it.
Oh, I, there you go. Matt's saying it as well, that they're overrated. So that's our show for tonight. We will have a recap show Sunday morning. That's kind of our plan. So mid, depending when you get it on your feed, sometime Monday. And we'll be going Wednesday, Sunday. And we made it, folks. The season is here.
Let's do this.
And yeah, we're biased against your team, too.